You guys can have a seat this morning. He is good all the time. And all the time, he is good, even when your video stream goes down like it did first service. So if there is our online community watching, sorry about the first service's connection there, but we're glad you're joining us online for today's message. It's going to be a really good day because I believe Jesus can. And if you have not received your wristband, or we also call them woot hoops, make sure you stop by the Discover Center out there and get one of these. These are a reminder for you that Jesus can in your situations. So if you have, if you don't have one at home, make sure you type in don't have one. If you got one, type in got one, just so we make sure that everybody's got a band today. So if you're here and in here, weren't here last week, we talked about doing 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church to go after the heart of God. So is there anybody in here that's done some prayer and fasting this past week? Yeah, there we go. That was, okay, we'll work on that. But hey, so glad that you are joining in to say no to something, as in I had a couple people come up to me and say, Tim, I'm fasting Pepsi. And one person said, I'm fasting Pokemon Go. I don't even know what that is, but they're fasting it. And just saying, I want to say no to this and say yes to God for 21 days and see what God can do in my life. So I want to encourage you to start really going after God for the next 21 days, because we believe that Jesus can. He can come into your situations. You know, something we're going to get really kind of honest today in today's message about, you know, the struggle of faith. The reality of faith. And what is faith when actually believing that Jesus can? Now, the Bible tells us what faith is. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not have. So that is faith right there. You're hoping for it and you have this expectation, this assurance of it. So if I have faith that someone's going to walk through the door with a Domino's pizza for Tim, I have this expectation that's going to happen. Now, if any of you want to go out and do that, that's fine. It's up to you. But literally, I have this expectation that I'm going to receive pizza today. You all have faith in every day of your life. Most of you have faith that your car is going to be out there when you walk outside these doors. Most of you have faith that you're going to eat lunch today. We all have this belief that something's going to happen. But the hard thing about faith is when you have to wrestle with the struggle that is of today. The struggle of today. You see, when we choose to trust Jesus or trust God, yesterday isn't very hard. Because we can see what God has done in our lives or even through the Bible. Tomorrow, we can have faith for, because we believe that Jesus one day can do something. The hardest place for faith to live is today, October the 11th. Because today, you have that struggle. Today, you have that pain. You have the reality of your bank account. You have the reality of your marriage. You have that struggle at school. That is happening today. You have the cancer that's in your body. You have the struggle in your home. That are real things. And what happens is that we have these problems and these pains right in our life today. And then we're stuck with thinking, okay, God, if you truly love me, why am I struggling with this? Why am I having this thing happen to me today? If you really love me, God, I wouldn't have got cancer. If you really love me, I wouldn't have had pain. I went to have the financial trouble. I went to have that problem at school. You see, that is a struggle of faith. It's because faith has a reality check to it. It has a realization. How do we deal with that? Each and every one of you ask the question, why God? Every day, somebody on this planet is saying, why God? And that's the struggle with today. So we're going to look at a passage today that is confusing and then encouraging. So we're going to get confused first, and then you're going to be pumped at the end and encouraged by what God can do. You guys ready for this? This side's ready. Come on, this side. You ready? Okay, here we go. Grab your Bibles. Turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. We're going to look at the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. For you that are home, Exodus chapter 14. And what is taking place here is the Israelites, a story about the Israelites. Little backstory, there's this group called the Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt. A man named Pharaoh was over them. And for hundreds of years, they were in bondage and slavery. And God spoke to a man named Moses saying, go set this group of Israelites free. So now this group is set free from the bondage, And then we're about to see what happens next. And what you're about to see is very confusing. So Exodus chapter 14, starting with verse number 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart," this is God talking, "so that he will pursue them. I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Do you notice anything about that that's confusing? You may not catch it, but God gives them exact GPS coordinates on where to go. He tells them exactly where they should go. And if you were to look on a map, it was the worst possible location to go. You have the sea on one side, Egypt and Pharaoh and his army on the other side, and right towards the middle is this tiny little gap that's surrounded by mountains. And so God tells Moses to lead either 2.5 or 3 million people to this tiny pocket where they're a complete bullseye. There's no escape. God literally placed them in a position of failure. And if we were honest, a lot of our lives can feel like God has done that to us. God has put us in a position where we can't win with our kids or can't win in our marriage or at school. It's like, why would God put me right here? Like, why did he put me in this situation? If God really loved me, why would he do this? So my wife and I love the black market. It's called Facebook Market and Craigslist. We love that. We're on that all the time. And so the other day, I did a little black market dealing, and I had to go get an iPhone because I had to turn an iPhone to AT&T. And so I'm looking online, and I contact this one person, say, "Hey, I see your iPhone's for sale. Can I buy it?" They're like, "Sure." And they're like, "Hey, meet me at this address." So I load up the kids, and I start driving down to this address. And as time went on, as I'm driving, I'm starting to feel a little uncomfortable. This area is looking a little sketchy. And so I get to the destination, and it's an abandoned building. So I'm like, okay, Lord, either I stay and be dumb, or I go and be wise. Of course, I stay and be dumb. Next thing you know, two guys walk up, tap on the window. "Hey, are you?" And I'm like, "Are you?" And he's like, he pulls out the iPhone. He's like, "Yeah." And I pull out the money, and we do like this really awkward exchange. And then I roll up the windows, and like, okay, that was really creepy and weird. So then I drive in, I go to AT&T to turn the phone. So I go to the counter, and I say, "Okay, here's the phone to turn in." Guy gets on his computer, starts typing the thing in, goes like this. "I'll be right back." Leaves. And I'm sitting there with two kids thinking, like, what is going on? The manager comes out and says, "Excuse me, sir. Do you know that you have a stolen phone?" And I said, "I'm a pastor. I love Jesus. And I didn't do this, okay? We're all good here." And they're like, "You have a stolen phone." And I'm like, "What do I do with this?" They're like, "You know what? You're stuck with it. So if anybody wants to buy a stolen phone off me, it's open, okay?" But and it was a phone that was actually stolen from an Apple store. It's a display model, so it doesn't even work. So it was pointless, and I lost money in that. But as I look at that situation, it feels kind of like this, where they're going with good intentions. They're trying to follow God, and next thing you know, they're literally the bullseye of Pharaoh. And the sea's blocking them in. And God has put them in this position. God put them there. So let's continue reading. Verse number 8. "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses, chariots, and Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea before Pi Hahiroth and Baal Zephon." Verse number 10. "Then, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then Moses said to them," they said to Moses, now watch what they say here. This is really important, because this is where you're going to see honesty towards God. because there were no graves in Egypt, this is the Israelites talking, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Ultimately, what they're saying is, why did you do this, God? Like, I would rather serve the Egyptians than die by the sea. Like, why, God? And some of you are asking that question, either in here or online. You're asking the question, God, why would you put me in this situation? Like, why would this happen to me? Why? I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, I've been trying to do what's right, and I'm here at this situation in my life. My life's here. Why, God? And it truly comes down to a question saying, God, why would I trust you? Why would I trust you? You put me in a position of failure. And this is the confusing part of this picture, that God actually put them in this position. This was God. He put them in this position. And there's times in life where God puts us in a position that seems impossible. And it seems like it's a setup for failure. But here's the encouraging part that happens now. Verse number 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. Everybody say the word today. For the Egyptians who you see, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I love this passage so much because Moses doesn't tell them, listen, God's going to come through for you, you know, maybe a month, 2 months, I don't know, sometime down the road. He says, God's going to come through for you today. That today something can happen in your life. And I believe with all my heart, as I have prayed about this message this past 2 weeks, that God wants to tell somebody here today that God can come through today. October the 11th, something can happen. Something can actually happen. See, we are so used to tomorrow or yesterday, but do we have faith that God could come through today? That something could happen today. Verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Pretty much stop praying. We've already prayed, now move on. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now this is before the sea even parted. Go forward. But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Go forward. And what takes place next is probably the most powerful thing in all of the Old Testament, where the Red Sea actually divides and they walk through it on dry ground. Now, I'm one of those Christians, believers, that actually believe God's word was true. And so I actually believe that the Red Sea actually parted literally and then it divided. So that's like you and I going up to Sellerville Lake and standing at the edge and somebody's wanting to come kill us and God parts Sellerville Lake for you. And I believe God can do that. I believe Jesus can. And this is the same thing that happened here. This literally gets parted, and they walk through it. Now, here's my question, though. Why did God part the Red Sea? Why did he do that? Now, I'm going to say something that some of you at first are going to be like, what did he just say? So I'm going to prepare you. But I do not believe that God parted the Red Sea because he loved them. I do not believe that's why he did it. I don't think there's any biblical evidence of that. And I'm going to explain why this is so important. So for you that are listening, grab on, because this is a deep theological truth that I believe will help you in life. I do not believe it was because of his love for the Israelites. The Bible gives us no indication of that. The Bible tells us this. First, why did he put Pharaoh in that position to chase after them? The Bible actually tells us. Exodus 9:16. But I have raised you up, talking about Pharaoh, for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed on the earth. God says the only reason why I put Pharaoh in the position that he is in is so that he would show my glory, that I would be glorified from this. Isaiah 63:12, hundreds of years later, tells us why God parted the Red Sea. Who set his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them, here's why, to gain for himself everlasting renown. So God parted the Red Sea because God wanted glory. That God wanted glory by parting the Red Sea. Now, why is that so important? Let me tell you. Because what will happen whenever you're going through a struggle in life, cancer, financial, marriage, school, whatever the struggle is, the first thing you're going to question is God's love for you. If God really loved me, he wouldn't have given me cancer. If God loved me, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen. If God really loved me. And what we see in here is this, that God's love for you never changes. He loves you so solidly that it is not based on if he comes through for you or not. What we see here is that God comes through when God chooses to come through. But his love for you is set. What will happen is when you go through struggles, when I go through struggles, when my family goes through struggles, we ask the question, why would God do this? Why did God let this happen? And then you begin to question his love for you. But the Bible tells us that his love is steadfast. And when I realized this, it was so freeing, because I want you to catch this. That means you don't have to do anything to make God work on your behalf. That God can just come through at any moment, at any time, because it's his glory. That he can come through in your situation and show up and do an amazing thing. His love for you is set. He loved you so much that he sent his only son for you to die in your place. His love is set. But God coming through could happen today if you prayed or if you didn't pray. If you did what was right or not, God can come through for you today. Jesus has this way of like just being suddenly showing up. If you like look at the wholeness of scripture, like he just like randomly shows up. He reminds me of my daughter who like randomly shows up in the middle of the night outside of my bed. So, you know, you're sleeping there and next thing you know, like you wake up and there's a child with hair all over their face, like breathing hard. It's pretty terrifying. My daughter does that all the time. It's like, oh, there you are. And if you actually read the Bible, Jesus and God are a lot like that. They just are like, oh, there they are. Do you know before Jesus ever came as a baby in a stable, there was 400 years of silence? 400 years. That's not even America's age. Nothing. Now let me ask you a question. Did God love them less because he didn't talk to them then as much as he loves you now? God's love is the same. So just because he didn't show up, that didn't mean he didn't love them. But God chooses when he does to show his power that's at work. I love this about Jesus because he just randomly just shows up. One of my favorite times is after the resurrection and Mary were, and the girls were out there to see Jesus' body and they're like walking back and the Bible actually says, suddenly Jesus appeared. Can you imagine? Man, what a beautiful, what in the world? You know, it's like he's just standing there. And it actually goes on where they were in a room, the disciples, and next thing you know, it says that Jesus like came through the wall and just stood there. It's like, where did you come from? You know, that Jesus just shows up. And I love even in the book of Acts when Jesus was departed, they're all praying together. And next thing you know, out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit comes down and falls on them. Just out of nowhere. And throughout the Bible, you will see that pattern of the unpredictability of God in people's lives. Meaning that you cannot set the right formula to make God appear in your life. Are you guys getting this? Because this is very freeing. You can't put the right equation on the paper because oftentimes we put all the pressure on us to make God appear. But if you realize that Jesus just can, that he can just show up in your life and do something amazing. 87 times in the Bible, the word suddenly is used. Meaning 87 times the exact word of suddenly shows up. Just out of nowhere. That God just shows up. See, me and you are used to a certain formula in the world that we live in. We have the formula of everything being gradual. So you start in kindergarten, you hopefully pass and don't kill anybody, you know, then you get up to like second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and the bigger you go, the more responsibility you get. You get to college, you graduate college, you get a job. The harder you work in the job, the more you do, you get to keep on rising, 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 rising. That's the formula we're used to. But God's like, I'll flip that formula on its head. I'll just come in and at any moment and just show up in somebody's life. I'll come in and do the impossible whether they've earned it or not. And my hope for you today is that your faith in your today can be renewed, that Jesus can show up. My wife and I have our own writing on these boards. And I had this thought, it could happen today. Like, in like 20 minutes, our prayer could be answered today. Now that's faith. That's just believing that God can show up and do it. What does God require of us, though? What does he call us to do? Well, what I love about this passage is that when he talks to the Israelites before they go out to the Red Sea, he tells them to go forward before the sea's even parted. To go forward. You are called to keep walking forward with God daily. To keep praying, to keep trusting, to keep rejoicing, to keep on walking. And then who knows, in one day, something can happen. That God can do something, but we are called to walk. Why? Well, what if we stop walking? What if we just say, I'm just staying where I am? We'll never walk through the door that God created for us. We'll stop right here short of God's amazing power at work in our lives. God can do the impossible if we are willing to just walk forward. As you go through your struggle, as you go through the overwhelming factor of the things that are attacking your life, keep walking forward. One of my favorite passages about Jesus just being who he is Psalm 118:24. It tells us this, "This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it." God has made today. He's created today. God will make your day. Get that? It's a joke. Okay, you guys are not in the mood. Okay. God will make your day literally and create your day. He'll form your day. This is how amazing our God is. He forms and fashions your day. Rejoice in that fact. That today could be the day that God does the impossible. Today can be that day that anything can happen. Because I believe, based off what I see in Scripture, that Jesus can come through. Jesus can do what is impossible at any moment because he loves you. But the reason why he comes through is because he loves his glory. He does the impossible throughout Scripture because of his glory. And he will never stop loving his glory, which means he will always keep coming through. I love the background music. I needed that. He will keep coming through. Let me tell you a story. I've mentioned this before, but I never told you the fullness of the story. Well, there's one time where I was in Texas, and I went on a train ride at 1 o'clock in the morning to share bread with people that were in need. And on that train ride, some of you have heard this, I got a gun pulled on me and my friend, and it was a very dangerous situation. And so through a series of events, we got off the train. The guy wanted me to buy some cocaine. I went by it. He threatened me. And so we got off the train just in time, and the doors closed as he was trying to grab me. I mean, it was a super intense situation. But what I never told this church before is kind of the little backstory to that. So exactly at 1 o'clock, my life was at risk. What I didn't know was hundreds of miles away, God woke up a woman at 1 o'clock in the morning. And this woman randomly woke up, and she knew of my friend, kind of, but she had this burden on her heart to begin to pray for my friend and who else is with him. And she prayed at 1 o'clock, "God, keep Matt Harmon safe. I feel like something's happening." And so when I got back from the train ride, I heard that there was this random woman 400 odd miles away in San Antonio, Texas, that was praying for me. And when I saw the detail of God, I could rest a lot easier. Meaning that God woke up somebody right when I was in trouble. God has orchestrated and planned your day. Something really crazy happened to me about 3 days ago. I was going to AT&T again, believe it or not, I don't know why, but I was driving to AT&T in Jordan Creek Parkway, so a little ways away. I'm driving there, and next thing you know, I hear this horn honking behind me. Beep, 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 beep. I turn around, and it's my brother from Kansas City and his family. And he got out, and he's like, dude, man, I was going up to Minnesota to see Mom and Dad, and we're stopping by to grab some Chipotle. What are you doing here? And it was just like the most random encounter. And as I'm looking at this, how God plans our days, I'm like, God, you're just cool. Like, you just got this awesome detail, randomness to life. I mean, the odds of me and my brother picking the exact day, timing out Jordan Creek Parkway to go in at the exact same time is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And no, he did not buy me in Chipotle. I was pretty mad about that. But I see God at work in so many small areas. And here's how I want to encourage you with this simple truth. Today is the day that the Lord has made. It could happen today in your life. He has made and formed and fashioned each and every one of your days. He is faithful in all these areas. And the hardest place for your faith to live on Monday morning when your coffee's not working and the music's not helping is to remember and look at that bracelet and remember, Jesus can today. And it suddenly makes your walk with God an adventure. That he's alive. He's active. He just didn't do things in the past. He's not just going to do things in the future. He could do something today in your life. I want to invite the worship team forward as I close. So we are going to take communion. So if you're at home, you can grab some bread, some juice. We're going to take communion together. Did everybody get communion? Brent Hagen, if you didn't get communion, could you put your hand up in the air and we'll get you a communion cup? If anybody didn't get communion, put your hand up in the air. Brent will get you some communion. And so we're going to take communion together. And what communion represents. So when Jesus instituted the first communion, there was bread and there was wine. And what he said was this: the bread or the wafer on your cup represents his body, which was broken for you. And the juice represents his blood, which was spilled for you because he loves you. And here's how I want you to think about it today before we take it. I hear crackers rapping. Okay, here we go. Here's how I want you to think about it. He told his disciples not to do it once a month, but he told them as often as you get together. I mean, when the church originally got together, they would do this. You know why? Because faith needs a fill-up. There's times in life where we just need God to be reminded that Jesus can come through today. And as you take that, you are engaging in the remembrance of Jesus doing the impossible, defeating your sin and my sin. If he can do that and rise again, don't you think he can answer some of these prayers? I believe he can. And I can't tell you the timing, and I can't tell you the magic prayer to pray it right. All I know is that I'm supposed to keep on walking and believing and trusting and rejoicing that today just might be the day that I see God do something impossible. So in your seats, you can crack it open now. You can take the bread or that cracker on your seat. Eat it in remembrance of him and what he's done for you on the cross. As you take that cracker, that bread, and then open the juice, and the juice represents his blood, which was spilled for you at your seat. Take it. drink it in remembrance of him. Do this in remembrance. Remember what he's done and what he can do today. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing two songs. And I want you just to engage in this time of worship. But also, if there's any prayer requests, we're going to have the prayer team up front. But also these boards are designed for you just to write your heart to God in these last, in these 21 days. If there's anything that's a burden on your heart that you're asking God to do, just trust in and believe that he can. I encourage you to write on one of these boards. We have markers up there. Even if you've already written something, but you want to write something else or do another prayer about that same issue, feel free to come forward during this time of worship and write anything that you're asking Jesus to do. So why don't you guys stand? We're going to engage in worship, singing this morning. And as we close our time, Jesus can do the impossible. And if you need prayer, we're going to have people on the prayer team up front, or just come to the board and write down your prayer requests.